Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
This is where the Chiefs like to get creative. They're going to line up in a wildcat. Jet McKinnon is the quarterback. Mahomes is wide to the right. McKinnon in the backfield. Waits, takes the snap. McKinnon will hand it off. Edwards-Helaire running right, pushing between the hash marks. Down toward the goal line, trying to get in. And he is. Touchdown, Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire with a 3-yard touchdown run. And the Chiefs have extended the lead. 13-3 Kansas City with 4:01 to go in the first. And the extra point try is coming up. Brady and the Bucs will start at their own 34, first and 10. Three receivers right, two to the left. Shotgun snap to Brady. Back to pass, hit, he fumbled the ball. Chris Jones trying to get it for Kansas City. Diving on it at the 20. Did he come away with it? Yes, he did. It's the Chiefs' ball as it was knocked out of the hands of Brady. Legarius Sneed came on the blitz, knocked it away from Brady, and Jones recovers. Kansas City takes it right back. Offset eye behind Mahomes. Here's the snap. Mahomes back on a play fake, rolling right, being chased, gets away. Mahomes is looking, spins out of a tackle. Mahomes flips it into the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
I mean, seriously.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the back of the end zone on a jump shot from Patrick Mahomes extends the KC lead.
What are we?
We're going to line up with Mahomes in the gun, McKinnon to his right. It's third and goal from inside the one. Noah Gray now under center takes the snap, and he goes straight ahead into the end zone for a Kansas City touchdown. We've seen Kelce do it in the past. This time it was Noah Gray. Comes in motion, goes up under center, takes the snap, and plunges in from 1 yard out. That'll increase the Kansas City lead. Now 27-10 with 2:11 to go in the second quarter. Mahomes back in the shotgun, lifts his right leg, takes the snap, back to pass, looks, fires right on the slant. That's caught. That's a touchdown. It's Jody Fortson, the third string tight end for Kansas City. Fortson has the TD, and the Chiefs score again. 5:42 to go in the third quarter. It's 37-17 Kansas City. The extra point try coming up, and Mahomes and the Chiefs have been brilliant here tonight.
Boy, Marco, you really, you had me scared there for a second. As soon as Round Ball Rock started playing, which I'm never against, I was thinking, oh God, what did I miss?
What?
Did John Tesh pass away or something? Wasn't that who wrote this? Let's see, John.
I just like the beat. Does this song mean something on this show that I don't know about?
Well, do you know what this song was originally?
For college basketball, maybe.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Ha! Don't tell me we're not going to not get into Chiefs talk right off the start.
Well, it's called Round Ball Rock.
Right.
It was composed by former TV personality John Tesh. He's the guy at the beginning of this clip. It was the theme song to the NBA on NBC during the entire era of the Jordan-led Chicago Bulls. The NBA playoffs were on NBC, and that was the music. Like when you hear the ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum for Fox, you know, football, that was... So I was like, did something happen in the NBA? Are we talking NBA this morning? That surprised me. So usually that's like our theme song if we do end up talking NBA for some reason. And I thought, man, I did not expect to hear that song this morning. And okay.
I just like the beat.
No particular reason. All right, good. Good to know. Yeah. I didn't miss anything. All right, because, hey, look, Steven's not here this morning. He's under the weather. And whenever that happens, the first thing I think of is, okay, a little different when you're hosting the show versus when you're the sidekick. And I better make sure I've thought of everything and know what all the big stories are from what was another very busy weekend in Kansas City sports. And I'm thinking about, okay, what are the biggest stories? You got the Chiefs winning a big Sunday night game. You got College Game Day coming to Lawrence, Kansas for the first time ever. As you can tell, my voice is completely shot from all the stuff that happened this weekend. Obviously, the real reason Steven's not here is because all of a sudden, we live in a world in which the Kansas Jayhawks are 5-0 in football. And, hey, the Missouri Tigers, they gave Georgia a game. But the Missouri Tigers are 2-3. So Steven's, that's why he's not here today. He doesn't want to deal with that. He doesn't want to deal with College Game Day coming to Lawrence. I'm just kidding. Unfortunately, Steven's under the weather. But so I'm trying to think of all the storylines. And then Round Ball Rock comes on, and I'm thinking, oh, God, what did I miss? Clearly, there's a story out there that I don't know about. And the story is Marco likes Round Ball Rock. It just felt like playing it on a Monday after the Chiefs get a 41-31 victory over the Tampa Bay Bucks. And are we all okay now with the Chiefs offense? Are we still worried that, oh, without Tyreek Hill, this offense isn't going to be as explosive? We're clearly seeing that this offense isn't going to be able to put up the types of big numbers and explosive plays that they did with Tyreek Hill. Well, they just went out and put 41 on what's supposed to be one of the best defenses in all of the NFL at their place. Patrick Mahomes throws for 249 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And his yards per attempt, not a big number. So the explosive play thing, to a certain extent, you could still talk about. But I think we can all kind of calm down a little bit about the offense and its struggles. Last week was a bad game, for sure. Bad games happened, by the way, when Tyreek Hill was here. Bad games happened offensively for the Chiefs when Tyreek Hill was here. And all that talk from the Tampa Bay Bucks about how this offensive line is not much different than the one that they destroyed in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I think we can also put that to rest, because the Chiefs came out and ran the ball 37 times for 189 yards at 5.1 yards per carry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 19 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco, 11 carries, 63 yards. Mahomes had some carries as well, 4 for 34. So one other thing wasn't the same. One other thing was different between the Chiefs and Bucks this time around. And that is, Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing on a toe that required surgery. Remember, not only was Mahomes in the Super Bowl running for his life because his entire offensive line was decimated, he was running for his life on one foot and still made some Herculean plays through the course of that game. And what we saw yesterday is when he has a decent offensive line in front of him and he can move, you got no shot. You cannot stop the Kansas City Chiefs if they are in their rhythm offensively. They almost can only stop themselves. And that play in the corner of the end zone where he did the spin move and flipped the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the touchdown, just put it in the Mahomes Hall of Fame. Like, he needs his own wing in the Hall of Fame of plays that you have to call everybody into the room to make sure they saw this. Everybody that's not watching, at least in my house, because if you're a child, you're not interested, apparently, in watching the most entertaining athlete on planet Earth when it comes to sports, because it's you'd rather watch somebody stream video games on YouTube or whatever. I mean, every game, I find myself hollering at my family, you guys got to come see what Mahomes just did. You got to see this. Well, you said that earlier. Well, he did something again I've never seen before. He just always does something that you've never seen before that nobody else could do. And it's like the thing that's so fun about watching Mahomes now is you know it's coming. You just don't know what's coming. You know it is. You know something out of this world is about to happen. And it's funny because whenever the Chiefs have these goal-to-go situations and short yardage situations, they like to run some of the trick plays and they direct snap it to Noah Gray or Isaiah Pacheco or Jerick McKinnon or whoever and do these creative things. And people always say, well, they need to be just able to line up and get a yard. Well, okay. To me, all that really matters is if they convert, if they get into the end zone. And I feel a lot of times like when you do that, you take away what makes the Chiefs most difficult to defend, which is you have to defend everything. You don't know where the ball's going. You don't know who's going to get it. And you have to, you know, like cover every inch of grass, and you're kind of on your heels because of that. When they line up in a power formation and run it right at the defense, you lose all those advantages. I think I wouldn't be upset if the Chiefs just decided, on these goal-to-go situations, to call some sort of passing play that involves Patrick Mahomes rolling out and delaying the play until somebody creates enough separation in the end zone that he can throw a little dart or fake a pass and run into the end zone, just like he did in that play. Because it seems like every time he does that, it ends up in a touchdown. At least that's what my mind, I don't know what the stats say, but every time I see Pat Mahomes drifting to his right, trying to decide if he's going to run it in or throw it in, and making these little pump fakes that freeze the linebackers and freeze the defensive backs, and then make some circus pass to somebody in the end zone, it's complete street ball. I mean, it's not some highly fine-tuned precision moment of offense when he does it. But how does anybody stop it? When you got guys running all over the back of the end zone that you're trying to cover, and you can't decide if Mahomes is going to run it or throw it, he ends up doing something like that. It's just, the guy is incredible. And after all of the, and look, there was some hand-wringing. Not everybody was freaking out after last week's game. But a lot of people were. And a lot of people were proclaiming that this just goes to show that, you know, the Chiefs aren't going to be what they were without Tyreek Hill and all that stuff. Well, you look at the standings in the AFC, and the Chiefs are tied with the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills for the best record in the AFC at 3-1. And the race in the AFC West is still alive because there's two teams right behind them that are 2-2. But I think we've been reminded, when you got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to be all right. They're going to be all right. And they're 3-1, and now it's Raider Week. Monday night football coming to Arrowhead Stadium, Chiefs and Raiders. That stadium's going to be interesting. There's going to be some YouTube clips and cell phone videos taken at that game. Chiefs and Raiders coming up on Monday night. Coming up on the show today, Todd Lebo will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get a weather forecast from Gary Lezak. All it is beautiful every day. That's all the weather is. I mean, I know we need rain pretty bad, but if you're not going to get the rain that you need and you can get this weather every single day, well, I mean, you might as well take it and enjoy being outside. I hope you had a chance to be outside this weekend because it was just gorgeous all weekend long here, and I think it's going to stay that way for a while. Adam Teicher will talk Chiefs with us at 8:05. Jeff Kerr from CBS will join us at 8:30 to talk all the NFL goings-on. And then Bill Moss at 9 o'clock. That's all straight ahead right here on the Border Patrol, which is off and running on this Monday morning, this Victory Monday for the Kansas City Chiefs on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Deckers throws. Hutchinson. Close. He's a yard shy.
Oh, now it's decision time.
Blake Clark is your holder. Kick is up and he missed it.
Wow. Oh.
Are on their way to going 5-0 for the first time since 2009.
That one didn't even have a chance.
I'll tell you what. I felt horrible for that kid from Iowa State, that kicker. I felt absolutely terrible for him. He hits two uprights. Then, a chance to tie the game at the very end. And, I mean, that one wasn't even close. It was obvious by that point in time. It was in his head. He wasn't going to miss it wide right or off the right upright. And he just hooked it completely wide left. And the Kansas Jayhawks are 5-0 in college football for the first time since 2009 when this old fart was roaming the sidelines for KU. What were you doing in 2009, Marco? Where were you in life?
2009, that would have been 3 years before I was a freshman in high school, so seventh grade. Yeah.
And you look at the Big 12 standings right now, and at the top of the standings, you see the Kansas Jayhawks, who are 5-0 overall and 2-0 in league play, and you see the Kansas State Wildcats, who are 4-1 overall and 2-0 in league play. The only two teams with a 2-0 conference record in the Big 12 right now are in the state of Kansas. Oklahoma State's 1-0. They're going to be everybody's favorite to win the league now. They knocked off Baylor this weekend, so they're the most highly ranked team in the Big 12. There are four teams in the Big 12 that are ranked in the top 25 as we go into week six of the college football season. None of them are named Texas or Oklahoma. You got Oklahoma State. It depends on which polls you're looking at. If you want to talk Associated Press, you have Oklahoma State 7, TCU 17, Kansas 19, and Kansas State 20. Those are the four ranked teams in the Big 12. Not Texas, not Oklahoma, not Baylor. The Oklahoma Sooners are at the bottom of the standings at 0-2 with Iowa State and West Virginia. There is a long way to go in the college football season. A long, long way to go. But what is going on? What in the world is happening? And the talk about KU up until this point has been that offense, man. They got a Heisman candidate at quarterback. They've got an offensive coordinator who's dialing everything up. They got this stable of running backs, a good offensive line. That offense is going to score. The question is, will they get enough big plays from their defense to keep them in games? Well, then they go out there and they score 14 points and win. They don't score a single point in the second half against Iowa State. Not some pushover. Kansas, underdogs in this game. And yes, they got help from a field goal kicker who was having a terrible day. And I feel bad for that kid. I do, man. I'm sorry. I don't wish that on him. I mean, that just, oof, that's tough. But Kansas wins a defensive game to go 2-0 in the league. K-State plays mostly from in front. They got out to a 13-0 lead against Texas Tech. Texas Tech came back in the second and third quarters, but for the most part, K-State played in front, and they beat a good Texas Tech team, and they're 2-0 in the league. The Oklahoma Sooners get throttled by TCU. They give up 55 points to TCU. TCU, do you know how many yards TCU put up in this game, Marco?
572.
That would be an incredibly terrible day. Right, that would 500. If you give up over 500 yards,
it's up. Oh, gave up yards. Sorry.
How many? If you're Oklahoma, how many yards did Oklahoma give up? Yes, to TCU. So 572. That's a good guess. They gave up 55 points. 668 yards of offense Oklahoma allowed to TCU. 668 yards, and TCU is 4-0 now. We didn't know much about TCU up to this point because they played a Colorado team that's not in good shape. They played somebody called Tarleton in their second game, and then they played at SMU, and they won 42-34 in that game. So you didn't really know what to expect from them coming into this game. They just put up 55 on Oklahoma. TCU now comes to Lawrence, Kansas this weekend, and College Game Day is going to be there.
And ding.
And the Jayhawks are 6-point underdogs. The 5-0 Jayhawks are 6-point underdogs. Last weekend, when KU just missed out on being ranked in the top 25, I said, and I stand by, who cares? Who cares? And I had a few, not many, but a few KU fans coming at me on Twitter saying, it matters. It matters for recruiting. It matters for eyeballs. It matters for selling your program. It's a big deal to be ranked. And my point was, if you keep winning, you'll be ranked. If you keep winning games, people will recognize you. That was always my biggest beef with the Charlie Weiss and Les Miles hires and eras. Oh, hey, people going to pay attention to KU football now. Hey, that puts us on the map. Remember arguing with Jake about that when, College Game Day, they're talking about KU because they got Les Miles. ESPN's doing this reality show now. Miles to go because he got Les Miles. And I said, you don't want the whole country paying attention to you when you suck. You just need to put your head down and do your thing and hope nobody's noticing while you're getting better. And then if you get better and you keep winning, people will start paying attention to you for the right reasons because you're good. It's chicken and egg there. You got to do the part that you get attention for being good. And there's nothing flashy about Lance Leipold at all. He just does the work. And his team keeps winning games. Now stinking Wisconsin's firing their coach. And everybody in Lawrence is freaking out. And we'll talk more about that. They're going to have a challenge on their hand keeping him. But hey, I'm not going to rule out Travis Goff's possibilities of doing so. Either way, it's a weird time to be a college football fan in the Midwest. Kansas State and Kansas are 2-0, and Oklahoma's 0-2. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Your music selections this morning are keeping me on my toes, and I like it because everything's a little non sequitur right now. You start off the show with Chiefs highlights and then play Round Ball Rock, to which we discover that Marco is not aware of the NBC NBA history behind that.
It was all ABC for me growing up.
Then in the next segment, you play highlights of a KU football game with the old
touchdown celebration, rock and roll,
rock, whatever that song was called, the Gary Glitter that they used to play at the Chiefs games all the time. You play that over a Kansas football highlight, so that doesn't quite make sense to me. And now, as we're into October, you're playing a song that is all about summertime. Hey, keeping me guessing. You're keeping me on my toes. I don't know where you're going with any of this, and I like it. Marco did send me some different statistics that ended up on the Twitterverse from the Chiefs win yesterday. The first three drives of the game for the Kansas City Chiefs, 12 first downs, 186 total yards, 7.4 yards per play, and three touchdowns. That was one of those games where the game plan that Andy Reid had dialed up was perfect. And when he gets into a rhythm and he gets into a zone and his quarterback's in the same spot, they look like a juggernaut. And that was one of those situations last night. Another statistic that Marco sent me. Tom Brady, in 366 starts in his career, his team's never allowed more than 42 points. It's only the eighth time that his team has allowed 40 points. And half of those eight are by Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Now, look, Patrick Mahomes was quick to say, and we're going to play some sound from him in a little bit, say, hey, it's not the same in the regular season as it is in the playoffs. And Tom Brady has scoreboard on the Chiefs when it comes to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But it still felt good to watch the Chiefs go out there and do that in Tampa. This tweet, boy, I don't know how to say his name. Sheil Kapadia?
Kapadia.
Kapadia?
Yes. I went to school with Amit Kapadia.
Okay. Sheil Kapadia. I'm going to follow him. I'm already following him. I wasn't. I am now. He's from Ringer and Spotify, The Athletic. He tweeted out, here's where the Chiefs offense ranks through four games of the post-Tyreek Hill era. EPA per drive, that's expected points average, I believe is what it stands for. It's one of those stats that measures the value of each play considering context. You know, what are you going for on the play? What are you hoping for? Expected points added, I think. Is that right? Yeah. So how valuable is each play that your team runs? They are first in the NFL. Points per drive, first in the NFL. Offensive points per game, second in the NFL. And success rate, however they measure that, third in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is first among starting quarterbacks in EPA per pass play. So, are the Chiefs going to be able to have a good offense without Tyreek Hill? According to the advanced metrics, they still have the best offense in the NFL. So, maybe they're going to be all right.
And anytime Mahomes touches the football for a pass, there's no other quarterback in the league who can put up more scoring or be more as a consistent scorer. That last part of that tweet is the reason, is just another reason why you put trust into him and Andy Reid's offense.
So the Chiefs are 3-1. We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes here in a little bit as he continues to go out and do magical things. Look, and then he throws the interception late in the game where you're wondering, as soon as he threw that thing, when you're watching on TV, you don't know what's downfield, right? The camera doesn't show you what's downfield, so you immediately assume there's going to be somebody running wide open. And he throws it right into coverage, easy interception. Not a smart pass, not a good play. And you just go, well, you're going to live with some of that with Patrick Mahomes. Because for every one of those, he makes 10 incredible plays that go in the Chiefs' favor. And the crazy thing is, that's only his second interception on the year. He's got 11 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, I think. I don't have his stats right in front of me. 2 interceptions on the year. So, on the one hand, you feel like, oh, man, you know, he's just a swashbuckler. You got to live with that a little bit. Yeah, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Well, you just got to live with that a little bit with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you do, but you do just have to live with it a little bit. Not nearly as much as you think. And, yeah, I know the other teams have dropped a couple potential picks on him this year. But the numbers are what the numbers are. He doesn't give the ball away that often compared to the plays that he makes. It's just incredible. The Chiefs' defense had its good moments and bad moments yesterday. There was, and by the way, I'm wearing my Clyde Edwards-Helaire shirt today. I thought he played very well yesterday. Very well. But he did have the one drop, right, on the conversion. And the Bucs took over the ball. And the Chiefs went out and got a sack, strip, fumble recovery right after that. And that was one of the biggest moments in the game for me. L'Jarius Sneed was the only guy to get home on Tom Brady. And that's something that I do think is still, you know, you need to be able to sack the quarterback in ways that don't involve blitzing your nickel corner or your slot corner. He's the best in the league at it. It's crazy to me how often he's able to blitz completely undetected by the quarterback, especially a quarterback like Tom Brady, who seems to see every single thing that happens on the field. He didn't see him coming. And it's not like it's L'Jarius Sneed blitzed. I've never seen that before. You know, that's going to happen a time or two a game, and it's just amazing how well he times it and how well they seem to disguise it. But in terms of, like, the rest of the team, I mean, like, they hit Tom Brady five times. And you just feel like pressures are fine, but sacks are a lot better. That sack was a huge play in the game. It was a huge play in the game. And the Chiefs did enough defensively to go out and get the win. They're 4-1. We'll talk more about it. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I mean, definitely a mixture of both. I mean, live, you play like you played last week. You have to be motivated to get back on track. But obviously playing at the stadium, I think when I got to the stadium, I realized, like, man, I want to win here. The bad taste that I had last time definitely came into effect a little bit more. But it's still not a playoff game. I think that at the end of the day, it's not a playoff game. It's a regular season game, which is important. But that Super Bowl is still always going to be a bad taste for me.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are now 3-1. Mahomes may be eliminating some of that taste of the Super Bowl from his mouth, going back down to Tampa and getting a win. Of course, remember that really good defensive front seven of the Tampa Bay Bucks had their way with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Some of their defensive players predicted a similar outcome this time around. Didn't see much difference in the Chiefs' offensive line now, even though none of the names are the same, than the one that they dominated back in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So let's hear from Patrick Mahomes as he talks about this offensive line's performance after some of those comments from the Bucks this week.
Yeah, I mean, they accepted the challenge. They made our team roll today. That's a great defensive line. And I think they heard the talking, not only from them, but from everybody about how they didn't play well the last week. They accepted that challenge, and they went out there, and when they dominate like that, it makes my job a lot easier.
So one of the things that is so crazy about the NFL, how do you explain the Kansas City Chiefs putting up 17 points at the Indianapolis Colts and looking as inept offensively as they did last week, and then turning around on the road against another really good defensive team and putting up 41 points and scoring on three straight drives to start the game, scoring touchdowns on three straight drives to start the game? Here's Patrick Mahomes when he was asked about this week versus last week, saying that he hopes this is going to kickstart the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't play our best football last week. And in this league, if you don't play good, you're going to lose. And that's a great football team. I mean, that's a great defense, a great team led by the best quarterback of all time. And so to come to their house and find a way to score some points and find a way to win, I mean, get you kickstarted into the rest of this year.
And we did discuss the fact that it would be logical if there are some growing pains offensively for the Chiefs from the wide receiver position, since they changed out almost that entire group. It wasn't just Tyreek Hill that left. DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle. I mean, Mecole Hardman is like the only returning wide receiver on the team. So I don't think any of us should be rushing to judgment on what this team's going to look like offensively in the first few weeks of the season. Mahomes said he thought those new guys responded well after a tough game last weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just don't know. When you have a lot of new players, you don't know how everybody's going to respond. And, I mean, in the past, we've kind of bounced back and won games like this. But when you have a new group of people, you want to see how everybody battles with adversity. And I think guys responded, and they the guys that have been here led, and then the other guys came in big moments and made big plays.
Of course, Travis Kelce was the biggest star in the receiving game, 9 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. He passed Gronk in receiving yards. We'll hear from Kelce hopefully later in the show. He was a little emotional about that. The play. You know, there's always like these Mahomes moments now where you describe certain little things and you know exactly which game you're talking about. I was talking to somebody who had been living in Denver about the different games Mahomes has played there. And he was like, hey, you know, I was there for his first game. That was the year that Alex Smith started the whole year and then Mahomes played at the end of the year. And I said, oh, man, I was there the next year for the left-handed pass game. Oh, yeah, I remember the left-handed pass game because that was one of those plays. When he was getting sacked by Von Miller and flips it out there with his left hand. They get a first down. This game, I don't know what we're going to call this play. The spin move, touchdown pass to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's the play that everybody's going to remember from this win over the Bucks. That touchdown pass to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's hear Mahomes describe what happened on that play.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I missed the wide open touchdown like the play before. I got like in between, like I want to lob it to him or just dot it on him. And so I was upset with myself there. And then we rolled out and they did a good job of kind of coming upfield and not going on that dive play that we kind of always run with Burton. But I was able to use my speed to get a little bit of speed to get around the edge there. And then I was going to run for it and they kind of flew around and I realized I wasn't going to make it and I saw Clyde. And so I just kind of flicked it up to him.
Well, in the middle of that, you spun. Like,
yep.
Were you still thinking of running at that point or having?
When I spun, I think the spin made me kind of decide to throw it again because I knew once I spun, I wasn't going to be able to build the speed to get in there. Before that, I was thinking about getting to the pylon, but once I spun, I realized that Clyde was open.
How many thoughts can go through one man's head while all that stuff's happening in a game? How slow does the game seem to Patrick Mahomes when he's playing it? And that is, I mean, it was funny. I was in the process of tweeting right as the announcers were talking about it. It's like a grown man on the playground playing with a bunch of kids. The game looks slower to him than it does to everybody else out there. It was incredible. And the Chiefs go on and win. You and I both said double digits last week, didn't we, Marco? We both said
That's
double
right.
digits for the Chiefs.
Bucks backdoored my minus 11, though. Darn it. But it's okay.
Yeah, minus 11. You bought up to minus 11.
It's the highest that DraftKings would let you at the time.
I just went with the regular old point spread. And the Chiefs and Jayhawks were good to me this weekend. Let's go. Get yourself logged into DraftKings. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll wrap things up on 38th The Spot.